Hey guys, wanna last longer in bed without having to worry about it? Who doesn't want to last a little longer in bed, right? It's hard to wait for your girl to come because there really is an orgasm gap. And that's why I love Promescence Delay Spray. Promescence Delay Spray is going to make you last a little bit longer in bed without you having to worry about lasting longer, because it's not going to totally numb you out and it's not going to transfer to your partner. And for your girl, they have a whole line of women's products. They also sell supplements called Vitaflux that are going to make you hornier. They have everything you need for a hot night of sex. So what are you waiting for? Go get yourself some Promescent. Not only do I recommend them, 2,000 medical professionals recommend them too. And just for listeners of my show, you're going to get 15% off your whole order at promescent.com/strictlyanon. That's promescent.com/strictlyanon. Make sure to order up because you're going to get 15% off your whole order. That's promescent.com/strictlyanon. Go there now to get 15% off your whole order, or just go to the description and click on the link.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand, you can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show, let your Greek flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast with Kathy. If you haven't followed the show on Strictly Anonymous, on Instagram and Twitter yet, follow me at Strict Anonymous. If you want to be on the show, it's called Strictly Anonymous because everybody remains anonymous. I change everyone's names. I change everyone's voices, okay? So if you have an interesting, naughty life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, you could be out and proud on my show too. That's cool. Either send me an email at strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. And I'm also looking for not so salacious stories. If you just have an interesting life story that it doesn't include sex, but includes other interesting things, I'd love to hear those stories too. You can also be on the show. So do what I just said. All the links will be in the description. If you have a confession that you want to be aired on a confessions episode, like today's episode, call my confessions hotline. The number is 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. Make sure you're in a quiet place. Hold the phone up to your ear, old school style. That's going to give you the best sound. You have 4 minutes to leave a message. If you need longer, call back. All the voices will be changed. You could call that number 24/7. All those confessions are aired on my Patreon. My Patreon is a great place to join. There's so many people over there. I got 2,200 people now signed up. Just for $5 a month, you get all the anonymous confessions. You also get all the hot pics of all of my female guests, all the anonymous pics of all of my guests, Plus, you get Q&As, we do a lot of polls, and you also get access to my private Discord. There's over 2,000 people signed up there, too. There's a lot of X-rated stuff going on over there. I don't get involved in my Discord. I just do my Patreon. But in order to get into my Discord, you have to go through my Patreon. Like I said, it's only $5 a month. It's a really great deal. You get a lot for that. I've always said I should raise it, and I never do. It's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. Now, if you're listening on a podcast app, make sure to subscribe to my show. And if you're on Spotify, comment on the episodes. I love getting comments, but keep them clean, because if they're not clean, they get flagged and I can't post them. So anyway, if you do love my show, like most people email me every day, I get like hundreds of emails from people, I love your show, write me a fucking nice review. Why do only the miserable people write reviews? Why not the happy people? Somebody recently wrote me a really nice review. Opie's Lounge. That was an easy one. And Falone Lay wrote me nice reviews. Thanks so much. Anyway, today is a confessions episode, and the confessions that are coming in to my confessions line are just getting better and better. Today, I kick it off with a woman who did the craziest thing when she was younger. She stumbled upon some stuff, and she explains the stuff that her mom had hidden in her room. And then what she did with that stuff is out of control. You're going to have to listen. I talk a lot about her and how what she did when she was younger definitely says something about her whole personality, and not something that bad. Anyway, the next guy called in because he wanted to confess that the most turned on that he's ever been is when he has stumbled upon other people having sex, just hearing it, not seeing it, okay? And he explains those scenarios and how he got turned on. So I talk a lot about that. I don't know if you have that kink, but I do. I don't know if you've ever heard people have sex, but it's hot. And then we hear from a woman who is a serial cheater. And she cheated on her husband once with a male masseuse. And she talks about that. And let me just tell you, she talks about it like she's telling an erotic story. She really drags it out. You're going to like that one. Then we hear from a guy who lost his virginity in the craziest way, and it wired him to be a cuck. You're going to have to listen to the details. He goes into the details of exactly what happened and why he got wired that way, and you'll understand after you hear it. And then we hear from a woman who needs advice. She cannot climax, and she is looking for advice because, of course, she wants to climax. I end with that. I always like to end with one that needs advice, right? The way these episodes run is people give their confessions, and then I give my 2 cents about their confessions. So you wind up hearing a lot of my confessions, too, on these episodes. I wind up confessing a lot of stuff that have to do with the stuff that these people called in. So anyway, I'm going to get right to it and be right back on with the first confession.
This is the Strictly Anonymous Podcast.
Hey, Kathy. Huge fan of your show. I'm over here melting over every episode. These sexcapades are just the highlight of my day. I love hearing about other ravenous creatures out there getting nasty and dirty. But anyways, I couldn't help myself to call in. Here's a confession for you, and I got lots of them. So here's a starter. This one goes way back, okay? It was about junior high, into junior high, and you kind of go sneaking through your mom's room, your parents' room, finding out what they got. Anyways, I'm going lurking, and above my mom's TV cabinet, that was the thing then when TVs could fit in cabinets, I found this shoebox. I ain't kidding, a shoebox. Her naked photos and a camera card of her getting face shots and fuck this way, fuck that way. I mean, I was just mind blown. And you know what I did with this information? What I did with the porno sitting next to the box with the toy sitting behind it? What I do with this is I charge my friends, male, female, a pretty price, $5 at the time, to get their oogly googly eyes all over my mom's sexy goodies. So I made a pretty good amount of money I wasn't really, shocked seeing her photos the first. I was shocked that there was evidence. It wasn't that I was like, this was unknown. My mom was a pretty open individual, walking around naked. Just, she was the smoking hot mom. Everybody wanted a piece of her, and everyone always called her my sister, and, oh, your mom's hot. So I sold her pictures. I made some pretty good money. So, sorry, Mom. Have a good day, Kathy.
Okay, this girl is a crazy bitch. Or is she an entrepreneur in the making? Sometimes I have to say I'm like out with my little child son. He's 8 years old, and I see some kids on the playground and they're doing certain things. And I'm like, oh, that might mean something about their future. And the fact that she was selling her mom's shit when she was young, it makes her either, like I said, crazy or a girl who was going to grow up to be a boss bitch. I want to know what you do. I know you're listening, okay, because you just left me this message. I want to know what you do for a living now. Are you still making the money? Because I think if you're that money motivated when you're younger, it probably translates to what you're doing when you're older, right? I definitely think she's probably making good cash now. I don't know, because I don't think most kids would, upon finding their mom's stash, would think to sell it to the neighborhood. I mean, either, like I said, she's an entrepreneur or she's crazy, or there's another thing, she's lying. Could it be that she's lying? I don't know. That would be a really weird thing to lie about, but this is what I think. I mean, she didn't say that there were any ramifications to her selling this stuff or anything like that. But one thing I do know, okay, when you are her age, really young, and you got a bunch of friends, your life radius is very small, right? Like your whole life is like within four blocks of where you live. As you get older, your life is like the whole, your whole city or your whole state or the whole fucking United States. But when you're young, your whole life is like four blocks around you. And also when you're young, people talk. Kids have big fucking mouths. So I just wonder how, okay, this girl sold her mom's stuff to her friends and word did not get back to her mom, because there is no way that shit wouldn't get out there. I mean, she's selling like really naughty things, stuff that most people don't see when they're really young. That would be major gossip. I know in my school, if I got that information or any of my friends did, we'd be spreading it like wildflowers. Everyone would know, the whole school. And then eventually some parent would find out and we'd get back to the kid's parent. Like, I don't see how you could keep that under wraps when you're that young. So I really wonder, did it never get back to her mom? And that would be the only reason why I think, is this a made up story? Because no part in her story does she say like her mom found out that she did this, right? It seems like it was kept under wraps, but I can't believe that something like that would be kept under wraps. I know, like I said, when I was younger, this kind of a thing would have been something that if one person knew or two people knew, everybody would have known, because that's the way life goes when you're young. And the questions that I would have for her if I was talking to her on the phone was, A, did your mom ever find out? B, did people like your mom more after they saw that? I mean, you already said like people were always hitting you up like your mom's like super hot. Well, now that she sees, they saw her in action. I mean, did they come over your house and like side eye your mom? I don't know. How did your mom not pick up on that shit? This is where I'm like, there's no way the mom didn't know. I don't know. It's like kind of like a really crazy story. It's so perfect for my confessions hotline. Whoever you are, you said you had a lot of other naughty things. So definitely call back. And when you do call back, let me know if your mom ever found out, if word ever got around. What other questions did I have for you? Oh, yeah. And if you're making a lot of money now, because like I said, I do believe the fact that your first idea was, let me sell this shit and make a buck out of it, says something about your personality, like a good thing, that you're money motivated and that you want to make cash. And I think that that's actually a good thing. It's fucked up that you sold your mom stuff. That wasn't the right way to do it. But the fact that that was your first thought says something about who you are. So I'd be more shocked if you weren't making any money now. Let me know. Call me and let me know, and then I'll update my audience. Anyway, on to the next confession.
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller, I guess. Ugh, freaking out a little nervous. Hopefully this will get easier and I can maybe have another confession. What I'm going to go with today is the two times I was turned on completely the most, and it's when you just happen to happen on people having sex, like unplanned in public, and you can just be like a third wheel voyeur, I guess, but you're not looking for it. So I guess that makes it a little bit more guilt-free. The first time I was at a music concert, and somebody was getting banged out in the porta potty, and it was so fucking hot. Could not help but go into the one next to them where you can hear it, and it may have been a little disgusting, but took care of myself there. And another amazing time was I was working for a, just say, a lawn landscaping company. And I was out pushing fertilizer, and I happened to overhear a couple in their room, and I was able to kind of pinpoint in the area where it was, and I could see the blinds obviously moving. Someone was really pressed up against the glass, and maybe it was my mind playing tricks on me, but I think they knew I was there, and like they were like peeking through the blinds on and off to see if I was still there, kind of listening. And I was doing my best to focus and get the job done. Got a bit distracted. Admittedly, took a little bit longer than anticipated. Got chewed out when I got back from the shop, but I had a good time, and I definitely had a good time in like the nearest gas station bathroom. That's it. In case I do confess another time, so you got like some kind of concurrent thing, or if you deem any of these like really, really good, I guess know me by Giant John Doe, I guess.
Okay, every single person that listens to my show knows I'm totally down to get every guy to try a little anal action. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about the Butter Wellness Personal Massager. Their personal massager is designed to externally stimulate the male G-spot. That's right, you don't have to put anything inside of you to have a prostate orgasm. You just take their personal massager and you put it right on your taint, and you're gonna have a prostate orgasm. And for anyone that doesn't know where your taint is, it is that little runway spot in between your balls and your asshole. You just rub that over there, you're gonna have a prostate orgasm. And let me tell you, people who have called into my show who talk about a prostate orgasm are like, oh my God, it's like the best thing you've ever experienced. And not only that, massaging your taint is going to increase your blood flow, give you stronger erections, and if you have any kind of ED going on, it's gonna help with that too. And right now, Butter Wellness is offering my listeners 20% off your order when you enter the code STRICTLY at butterwellness.com. That's butterwellness.com. Use my code STRICTLY to get 20% off your order. Go to butterwellness.com, use code STRICTLY to get 20% off, and have yourself the best orgasm ever. Good news, Strictly Anonymous podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. The number, the website, and the email address will all be in the description. Okay, Giant something or other. I couldn't get that name that you want me to call you about. How many people have you listened to have sex? Are these only two and there's more, or you have more other kinds of confessions? There is nothing grosser than a porta potty, and I can't believe anybody could go into one and get horny and have sex. I mean, that must have been a drunk ass couple, right? Because as I was saying the sentence, like, who would ever go in a porta potty and have sex? I started to think, like, when I was drunk, I might have done that. You know, because when you're drunk, you do crazy things and your senses are kind of dull, right? I mean, because the smell in a porta potty is so horrific, you'd have to be like, I actually would have to be blackout drunk, really. So I happen to think that the girl in that scenario was blackout drunk, and the guy, and I've never been a guy, but this is how I think guys roll, that a guy would be able to surpass the really bad smell because he's just so horny. And if this is his only chance to get fucked, he'd do it. That's just how guys are, right? Is that true? Right? Like a guy, if it, you know, the only way you're going to get laid is if you go in a disgusting porta potty and you could fuck this girl. You're going to do it, right? As a guy, this is what I think about guys. So I think the girl must have been blackout drunk. And I think the guy was horny and he took one for the team. And listen, I get the whole being turned on by hearing people have sex. It happened to me kind of recently, like maybe 5 or 10 years ago. I don't know. 10 years is recent when you're old like I am. It was like 10 years ago and I was in a hotel and the people next to me were having sex and the moaning and the groaning, it just like kept happening for a long time. And when I first heard it, it wasn't really that loud. So I went to like the wall to like hear it more. And when I heard like, oh yeah, what I'm listening to is like people having sex. I kept listening and I got really turned on. And that was something that I realized like, oh my God, this is like a fucking hot turn on. And I totally jerked off to it as it was happening. And then after that, I had those thoughts when I was jerking off afterwards, like I would create that scenario. There is something hot about hearing people have sex that don't know that you're kind of listening. Now, thankfully, this guy's no peeping Tom. He's not going around looking for that shit. That would be illegal, right? But if you're in a hotel like I was, or you're at Burning Man or wherever that porta potty was, you know, and there's people, well, Burning Man people would be fucking out in public. If you're at like Coachella and people are fucking in the porta potty, that's okay. You're listening, you hear it, you get turned on, you got to rub one out. I understand. But what about the people having sex during work? I understand that one too. I mean, it was something that he stumbled upon, like he said. They might have known he was watching and were into it. I don't know. Does somebody wind up pressed against window blinds getting fucked on purpose because they want people to look? I don't think so. I think you wind up pressed up against the window by accident. You're just like fucking like mad. And I think it was all in his head that they were doing it for him to see. Because if it was like a house, I mean, what are the odds that somebody's going to be walking around? Or was he like working in the house and they knew that there was a worker outside that might see them? Now that might have been a thing. And I have to tell you, I had an experience like that with, remember my old co-host Tommy? I talked about how the fact that he was like my long-term booty call. And there was a time where we were having sex and there was, in the middle of it, we had to stop because somebody, like there was like a guy delivering something to his house or something was going on with his house. And the guy was like coming in. Now he lives in a New York City apartment. I live in New York. So it's like a small kind of place, right? So he let the guy in and the guy was like just doing his business and we went back to fooling around. And I have to tell you, like I was definitely more turned on by the fact that I knew that this guy was like right out there and we were fucking and he could know that we were fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like that kind of a thing. So I definitely think that that couple, if they knew that there was someone outside that could possibly see them or they knew that they could hear them or something, there is something to that that's a turn on, right? Because I've been there, done that. But I don't know if they wanted him to see them. I mean, he said he didn't really see that much, but he got to hear it and he was turned on. And I understand his getting turned on. And I'm sure most of you do. And anyone that doesn't understand it has never been in a hotel room alone and heard someone have sex like I did. Because I never knew before that. Okay, I have to tell you, I had never been in all of my life in a place where I heard people having sex until, like I said, like 10 years ago. And when I did, I was turned on by it. So I think most people would be given the right circumstances. Hotel rooms make me horny to begin with. I don't know about you. Am I the only one? Something about a hotel room that just makes me horny. I don't know what it is. So maybe that had to do with it. I don't know that I get turned on next to a porta potty, right? But inside a hotel room, for sure, I've done it. So anyway, on to the next confession.
Kathy, are you my confessional priestess? All right, I've got a good one. I've done many bad, naughty things. I seem to be a serial cheater now after decades of loyal marriage. This was sort of my first thing. It was a few years ago. I kept going to this massage place near my house, and I asked for the best male masseuse, and I got this really great guy, and he was sort of undetermined age. He could have been 25, he could have been 45. Very handsome, Thai or Vietnamese or something, great hands. Oh my God, this massage. So I kept going to him and going to him, and I was getting more comfortable. And he would just get in there on your thighs, upper thighs, back of the hamstrings. He just wasn't shy at all. So I kind of, one of the third or fourth times I went, he sort of grazed the inside of my pussy a little bit, like, oh, did I touch you there? And I got really like excited and turned on. And, oh my God, what was he doing? And oh my God, I hope he does touch something. And then the massage went from relaxing to completely tense. And I was completely flipped out. And then I went back there again, and I started booking like hour and a half massages to give us more time. And I started not wearing underwear under the sheet. And it was really, oh my God. So by the sixth or seventh time I go back, and it's a 90-minute massage, and I'm not wearing any underwear underneath the sheet, and he's being really like handsy, and the massage is very sensual, lots of oil, and I'm breathing hard. And when he flips me over after the hour mark, I just decide to just screw it. I'm taking off the whole sheet. I'm going to show my tits, which are quite beautiful. And he kind of looks, and he started massaging my breasts. And it was such a fucking turn on. And I was kind of like, looked at him like, aren't you going to put his hands on my crotch? And he said something like, I can't do it. You have to put my hands there. I can't do it. And I was like, okay. So I just grabbed his hand and I put it on my pussy that was just wet as hell. And I got him to kind of finger bang me for a little bit. And then it was time to go. The 90 minutes was up. And I didn't come or anything, but it was so fucking hot. I just about died. And I got home from that massage, and my husband was home, and he goes, how was your massage? And I said, great. And I still jack off to massage porn to this day. Oh my God. Thank you. Love your show.
Okay, now, first of all, people are going to be jacking off to this woman's voice, right? Oh my God. She could have been a phone sex operator back in my day. Back in my day, there was something called a phone sex operator. All my friends used to be like, oh my God, Kathy, you should do it. You should do it. Because even when I was younger, I just always liked talking about sex because no one else wanted to. And it was so taboo. It was like so easy to get attention that way. So I was pretty open. And I have to say, anytime I have had a guy that has been interested in that kind of a thing and been like, hey, let's have some phone sex, I could just like flip a switch and be really killer at phone sex. I don't know how it happens, but it's like I become another person and I'm really fucking good at it. But anyway, this girl though takes it to another level. She's got the voice. I was just like, you know, is she like an erotic storyteller and this is all bullshit? But I think if she was, she would have definitely came in the story, right? She wouldn't have been like, and I didn't come. And I only got finger banged and he forced me to do it. I think the story would have been more perfect. That's why I believe it. I wonder how many other times she's cheated on her husband. It sounds like she cheats with zero guilt, which is always fascinating to me. I would love to talk to her and get her whole story because I get a lot of guy cheater stories on my show. And I have definitely had women cheater stories as well, but I think that they're always a little bit more interesting because I think that a lot of times, because I've heard it from my guy friends, people assume that women cheat for different reasons than men. And what I have found through doing my show is that most of the time people are cheating for the same kind of reasons. I think you're going to have people that fall on one end of the spectrum sometimes, those extreme people like that guy or girl who just needs variety or needs to get their ego fed and needs a lot of people in their life, even if they have someone on the side. We all know that person. And I feel like that person's not always just a guy. That person is sometimes a woman who just needs a lot of attention, even if she's got that guy at home. I've had friends like that. Serial cheaters. They're filling like a vapid hole inside of them. But what I have found is most of the time, both men and women are cheating because they are not fulfilled at home in one way or another. Either the sex has flown out the window. Both men and women cheat for that. I think a lot of times people always assume, oh, a woman a guy cheats because the woman stops having sex. Most of my female cheaters are calling in because their guys will not fuck them. So they have just resorted to going out and fucking other people. I wonder why this woman's cheating on her husband. Like I said, I do like to get the woman's angle because I think it's always interesting to see that women do it and they do it for the same reasons. Listen to some of my cheating episodes. I have podcaster friends that would never have a cheater on their show because they're so judgy about it. But the reason why I love having cheaters on my show is I think that people could learn from those stories. People cheat. I mean, it's a fucking fact, and people cheat all the time. It's a big problem. And if you listen to the stories, the people, the cheater stories, you're going to hear the truth of why people cheat. These people call them to my show. They make up funny names. Their voices are changed. They have no reason to lie to me. They throw it all out on the table. So if you want to know why your partner is cheating on you because you think that they are or they did, and you want to know why, you want to get into their head and get the actual truth, listen to my cheater episodes. You're going to learn, and that's what it's about. That's why I love to have them on. And I also like to have them on because I think that a lot of times people lump all cheaters together in one category, and I just don't think that that's fair. You can't take, and I've said this before, you can't take the philanderer and put him in the same category as the guy who's been married for 40 years, never cheated, but his wife went through menopause and she hasn't fucked him in 5 years, and now he's sleeping with escorts. So those are two very different kind of guys, and I just think that cheating happens. And sometimes when you hear a cheater's whole story, I feel like you might judge them less. I know that I do. I think you can't take things out of context. You can't just say, oh, he cheated, scumbag. Oh, she cheated, what a bitch. It's like you can't say that. You have to listen to the whole story. And most of the times I feel like you might feel very differently. And that's why I like to have cheaters on. This woman, I want to get her on. I do think that the whole masseuse fantasy is a hot fantasy. I have never had it actually happen to me, but I think it's like a hot role play for sure. I've definitely role played that scenario. I know a lot of guys go to happy ending massages. I've talked about it before on my confessions episode. I think it gets a bad rap. And I stuck up for the guys who go get happy ending massages on one of my most recent episodes. I do know two women, and I talked about who have been finger banged like this woman was. It happens. It can happen to you if you're out. Now, I don't know if in reality I could ever in the moment with some guy that I don't know or woman like get actually turned on. I think I would be too in my head. I don't know that I could just like sort of go with the scenario. Maybe if I was ovulating at the time. When you're ovulating, you're so horny. Oh my God, you can't take it. Maybe if the timing was all right, maybe I could. I guess I got to change my mind. Like I could maybe have that happen. Like the two women that I know that let people finger bang them during a massage are not the kind of woman you would ever think. And I think it's just like the timing's right and the person goes there and you're really relaxed. And like I said, maybe you're ovulating at your like horniest time of the month and you're like, go for it. And you get finger banged during a massage by a stranger. I don't know how you feel afterwards because I, as a woman, have post-nut clarity too. It's not just guys, right? Like, you ever jerked off to something that you found online and you're like, oh my God. Like, it's hot while you're watching it. And then afterwards, you're like, oh, I think I need to take a shower. That happens to me. I don't know. Does it happen to everybody else? Or, you know, I don't know. Post-nut clarity exists and I don't know how I'd feel afterwards. I just want to get the fuck out of there. That's how I feel like I'd feel. So I don't know that I'd go with it. Want to have the best sex you've ever had in years? Then you need to get yourself some Via High Love gummies. I got an email from a listener of mine that bought them last time I advertised them. And literally the guy said, me and my wife had the best sex that we've ever had in 40 years. Promise you. That's a real review. Via High Love Gummies will get your senses going, increase your blood flow, and intensify your sexual experience. Via also offers zero THC products. They have a whole CBD line with products designed for sleep, focus, and energy, okay? You want something that's going to put you to sleep and keep you asleep? Try the Zen CBD gummies. I normally take melatonin to go to sleep. I took one of these. I got so tired like a normal person and then fell asleep and had the best night's sleep ever. So what are you waiting for? Go get yourself some High Love gummies for great sex and check out all the other Viya products. And the best part is Viya legally ships in all 50 states with discreet packaging directly to your door. No medical card required. So if you're 21 plus, you're going to get 15% off plus a free pack of award-winning Dreams THC and CBN sleep gummies with my exclusive code STRICTLYANON at viahemp.com. viahemp.com. Use my code STRICTLYANON at viahemp.com for 15% off and a free pack of Dream gummies. But this woman did. I wonder if she ever went back to him. I'd love to get your other cheating stories. I definitely think if you're not somebody that's like reading erotica online, you should, because not only did you have a great confession, you told a great confession. Your voice, your tone, everything about it was great. So thanks for calling in and on to the next confession.
So I'll call and leave a quick confession. I guess part of the reason that I'm interested in being a cuck is really kind of the way I lost my virginity. So here's my confession on how I lost my virginity. I was younger. Me and a buddy of mine were out riding our bikes in a different neighborhood that was close to mine. We saw a girl who was kind of a friend of ours who was older than us by a year or two. So we're flirting with her, just hanging out, and next thing I know, she hops on my buddy's handlebars on his bicycle, and we all ride over to my house. My mom wasn't home, but my dad was, and he didn't really care what we were doing, so we were just all hanging out upstairs in my room, and next thing I know, I have this walk-in closet, and a decent-sized walk-in closet enough to where you could completely walk in and shut a door and lay down and do whatever. So next thing I know, me and this chick end up in my walk-in closet. The door was shut and we are making out, and next thing I know, sucking on her tits, and she forces me to go down on her, which I thought was interesting and hot, and I was intimidated, and I pulled my pants down to try and shoot my shot and get in, and she's like, no, hold on a second. It's your friend's turn, who was outside my bedroom. So me and my buddy switch places. He goes inside the door, shuts it. So I'm nosy and kind of listening in through the door of what they're doing. And I heard her say, why don't you finish what your friend started? Next thing I know, I hear them fucking, I don't think it lasted too long in there, maybe less than 5 minutes, but long enough, I guess, for him to do what he needed to do. He lost his virginity that way. And right after they were done, I was called back in there. She told me to finish what I was started. So I went down on her again. I could taste the warmth and feel the difference that he had definitely been inside her. And I thought that was definitely interesting. So I'm going down on her. And next thing I know, she does let me penetrate, and by the time I do get in, I just pulled right out. And to finish my story, I guess basically I got my buddy sloppy seconds on my first and lasted all of 5 seconds. So I was a one pump chump and definitely tasted the seconds. So I guess that's where it all started, and that's just one of a few things. So anyways, if you'd like to chat, feel free to reach out. Thanks.
If something's going to make you or turn you into a cock, it's going to be his losing his virginity story. Oh, my God. I thought I had a crazy losing my virginity story. This guy's losing his virginity story is pretty killer, okay? I mean, he's just out having a bike ride with his friend and a girl shows up, and before you know, they're both banging her in a closet. Oh, my God. If his parents only knew what was going down with that girl who wound up taking both guys' virginities. That is crazy. And like I said, a definite thing that will turn you into a cock. I mean, things that happen when we're really young definitely wire you to be into certain things when you're older. And if your first sexual experience that was so amazing involved another guy being with the girl before and after you, oh my God. Of course you're going to be totally into it. He said he only lasted like 5 seconds. Sometimes girls' first experience of having sex isn't that great. But it seems like guys' first experience having sex is pretty great. They always come in 5 seconds. And so, of course, this is why he's wired in that way. Would this guy be a cuck if this never happened to him? Probably not. I think it's a big reason for it, and it makes sense. I wonder, what were his experiences like after that? I wonder if being with a woman by himself after that first experience gave him that same thrill. I sometimes think once you experience something that's so thrilling, like that one experience with the friend, that extra person there, sometimes it's hard to have something less thrilling. Like, I wonder, James, call me and let me know. Do you always need a third? Does there feel like something's missing when you don't have another guy there, or you're not getting sloppy seconds? Because I could see that happening, and that would be unfortunate for him because it's just what happened. He didn't plan that little threesome that he had. It kind of was like a threesome. He didn't plan to be taking someone's sloppy seconds. Probably if you had asked him before that happened if he'd be into that, he'd be like, no way, I don't know. But you know, it turned out he was into it because it was like in the moment, just the way that it happened. And I just wonder if it kind of ruined him. Because listen, even though I have a lot of women on my show who want to fuck other guys for their guys, doesn't mean that most women roll that way. So I think it's hard if you're a cuck to find a woman who will give you the experience that you're craving, which is her being with other guys. Not every girl's going to want to do that. Girls are like really picky when it comes to guys. It's way easier for a guy to find a girl he wants to fuck than a girl to find a guy she wants to fuck. And there are definitely girls, like I said, they've been on my show, that are wired just like men, where they could just fuck 10 guys in one day. There's no connection there. They don't need to know them. They want variety when it comes to men. But most women aren't like that. The majority of women have to have some sort of a connection with a guy before they get horny for them. And it doesn't mean that they have to be in love with them, okay? It just has to be something about that guy. And there isn't that thing about most guys for women. Does that make sense? Like, most guys don't have that thing that girls are looking for. And that thing could be anything. Who knows what it is? I don't know. If you put all the guys that I want to fuck in a room, it wouldn't make any sense to you, but it made sense for me. It was never like, oh, I have to love the person, but there has to be something there, some sort of vibe. And that's the way girls roll. So it is harder for a girl to go out and find different guys she wants to fuck, especially if she already has a guy at home. Most women are more wired to be monogamous than guys. So this poor guy, I don't know if you suffer, James, because it's hard to find a girl who will play into your cuck fantasies, but there are girls out there that will do it. And the problem is you got to make them understand that it's not a trap, that you're just wired this way. Tell them about this first experience and they'll totally understand. They'll realize that because of the way you lost your virginity is the reason why you want them to go out and fuck other people. I think that they'll understand it, because I think sometimes it's a hard thing for a girl to understand it. So make sure to include that story when you meet your new girls. You sound young, so I'm assuming you're not married or in a relationship, but the good news is there are girls out there that will be a hot wife for you, but it might take longer to find one. So anyway, on to the next confession.
Hello, I'm a brand new listener to your podcast and I absolutely love it. I've been listening to it at work and I can't get enough of it. I am a 41-year-old female and I keep coming across the same issue. So I would love to get some advice on it. I've had a pretty adventurous sex life, I'd say. And the problem I keep coming across, whether it's self-pleasure or with a partner, is that once it starts feeling really good, then I just have to stop. Whether I'm with a partner and they're giving external stimulation, I push them off and they try to keep going. And if I allow that to happen, then eventually it will be a really great climax. But even by myself, it's just once it starts feeling really good, I just have to stop. And I would like to keep going and reach that ultimate climax. I just don't know how to power through. I generally only climax during external pleasure. So my question is if this is common and how do I get myself to keep going to complete the climax? It's almost impossible for me to power through. I've tried toys, definitely not at a high powered speed, just very relaxed and simple. I can't tolerate anything at too high of a power. I watch videos to try to get relaxed, but like I said, it's just once it starts feeling really good, I have to stop. Yeah, so any advice would be greatly appreciated. This is something I've been struggling with for a long time, and it hasn't seemed to get better, whether or not I'm comfortable with my partner or by myself. Once again, I am a 41-year-old female, and I'm just looking for some advice on how to reach that full potential. Thanks.
Oh my God, I feel for you, caller. We need to help you, okay? I know because I texted you after because I needed a little bit more information. First, I wanted to know if you were having, like, you were having clitoral orgasms and just vaginal orgasms, like, were the ones that you had to stop. I didn't understand that. And also, my second question was, like, why did you have to stop? Was it because it was... you felt overstimulated and it felt like too much, like you had to push somebody off? Because like that's how I feel after an orgasm. So I was wondering if that's how you felt before an orgasm. And you did get back to me and you told me that this is about clitoral orgasms. You don't ever try to stimulate yourself vaginally. So we're talking clitoral orgasms here. And it is because you feel too sensitive. Now, you did tell me that you had one guy who was going down on you, and even though you tried to push him away, he didn't let you, and he kept going down on you, and he had you have another orgasm, and that's like amazing. And I think maybe you need to call that guy up and have him do that to you like 50 more times for you to break a habit. Unfortunately, you are like stuck in a place where you have... where you get overstimulated before you even climax and you can't climax. And that's a messed up place to be, but you can definitely get out of it. It is hard sometimes when you have mind fucked yourself into a corner like that, because that's what you did. It's a lot of it is in your head. And when you have mind fucked yourself like that, it's hard to change it. Our brains can be so powerful.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
And the fact that you've continued to not be able to orgasm, and every time you've given into that oversensitivity and instead of orgasming and pushing yourself through, you've stopped, you've created a really bad pattern for yourself. But I do believe it can be changed. It's just a bad pattern. And one thing I will say, because you said you have used some toys, but you have tried them and they never work. Now, as a woman, let me just tell you though about the wand, okay? I never like to play with vibrators because I was always like, no guy is ever going to do to me what a vibrator does to me, you know? And I never wanted to get wired into needing that much stimulation to get horny, you know what I'm saying? So I never really liked vibrators. Like, I would use dildos and other things to get off, but never vibrators. And then recently, someone sent me a wand. Now, in my whole life, I never bought a wand because I just thought, oh, a wand is like a vibrator vibrator on crack, right? Isn't that, or on steroids, whatever it is. So I never had one, but I was sent one for free and I used it. And oh my God, it is not like a vibrator. It is like a vibration. It is a very different kind of a thing. And it gives you like the best orgasms ever. Now, I don't know if that's going to overstimulate you too, but I suggest while you're going to practice trying to break your pattern, you just buy yourself a wand. Just invest in one and try that out and see if maybe that could help you get over the edge. But what you really need to do is create a new pattern. You have to power through. Now, I think it's going to be easier if you could find a partner that forces you to do it, because I think it's going to be hard for you to go against you, right? Like you say, even when you're doing it yourself, it happens. So I don't know that because that you're going to be able to change that pattern because you're you, right? Like I said, it's you against you. Now, I have battled against myself on many things and most of the time I win, but I'm like a crazy bitch. I don't know if you have it in you, but you can try to do that. It's literally like you have to feel the part of you that wants to stop when it's getting oversensitive and say, fuck you, and just power through it. Now, if you don't have that crazy discipline in yourself, which I understand, you might need to find a partner that can do it for you. Like that one guy who refused to stop and he pushed you through it and forced him to force and then you came. That's what you need. You are overstimulating yourself before you have an orgasm. And that's a problem too. Now, I know because I'm not a multi-orgasmic woman that the reason why I can't have multiple orgasms is because I'm too overstimulated by the time I have my first one. And I learned that from Susan Bratton, okay? She's a smart bitch. She told me that. That is because I'm overstimulated, right? So I get to the point where I'm literally at, like, right before you. Like, you get to the point where you're overstimulated, you can't come. I come right before I'm at the point where you're at. And then the minute I come, I'm where you're at, right? Get off me. Stop. Don't touch me. I'm overstimulated. I can't fucking take it. So I know the feeling that you're having, but you need to have the orgasm before that, before you get to that point. And that's a matter of relaxing into it. So the Susan Bratton episode was all about orgasms, and she definitely talked about how you should not overstimulate. And so I started practicing that. And the way that I have found that works to not overstimulate myself is to just breathe out and let go and release instead of clenching. I feel like clenching gets that stimulation going, and sometimes it brings that orgasm on, but you want to go against that. Like, don't clench, stay loose, just keep letting it go instead of trying to go over the edge. And it's sort of counterintuitive, because I think what happens when you're building to that orgasm is you start clenching, and then you're clenching, and you have that orgasm, you go over the top. Now you're clenching too much, you're overstimulating, and then you're just too stimulated and it doesn't feel right. And you're missing that orgasm. So I think if you stop clenching, and when you start to feel that you want to clench, instead of clench, just remain loose, open yourself up, breathe, go slower, sort of tease yourself. And that's what you have to do. And I have mastered that. And I feel like I am so close to having multiple orgasms because I have stopped overstimulating myself. And I didn't know that I was doing that until I listened to Susan Bratton. And she talked about that whole situation, because I was always jealous that people could orgasm like five times and I couldn't. And then I found out why. So listen, you can't orgasm once. We're going to get you to orgasm. I suggest you buy a wand and you try that. But besides that, I suggest you look into ways to stop overstimulating. You continue to play with yourself. You need to rewire your brain into allowing yourself to have that one orgasm, because you just wired yourself into just fucking missing it every time. And like I said, I get Like my mind is totally like that. If I back myself into a corner or get myself into wired into something, I could become like very addicted to whatever that is. And I don't know if addicted is the right thing, but I'm an addict, right? So I could get stuck there. My brain is that powerful. But if you're that, but if your brain is that powerful enough to get yourself locked into that corner, it is also powerful enough to get yourself out of it. And that's what you have to know. So it really is you against you. You have to retrain yourself because you trained yourself into this corner and you have to get yourself out. Now, I do believe there's help. Listen to Susan Bratton's orgasm episode, okay? And take her tips for not overstimulating. Play with yourself more. Get that wand. Try to see if that pulsating vibrational thing that that wand does that is like out of control might help push you over to the edge, but do not stop until you change the game, okay? Because you are like at the point, you're 41. This is your last hurrah, okay? This is the time where you are going to be the horniest. This is the time where every woman goes out and like fucks a 25-year-old. At least that's what I did when I was your age, okay? I was like 41 fucking a 25-year-old from the gym. Because when you get into your 40s as a woman, you are hornier than you ever are because it's your last hurrah. Your last eggs are coming out and they want you to go have a baby before you can't have a baby anymore. So, you know, you are extra, extra horny. You have a good 10 to 15 years left. That's it. So time is of the essence, okay? You got to fix this problem. I love that you want to. You called into my confessions hotline and put it out there. I love that you have a problem and you want to solve it. And there is a solution. I believe that. I believe you just wired yourself. I believe it feels very powerful. But like I said, as powerful as it is, you're the one that did it. So you're the one that could undo it. You have that power. Know that. Okay. I do post confessions on my Patreon first. And I do have to say that you did get other people chiming in and giving their advice. A couple people said go see a good sex therapist. I don't know that this is a mental block. I think it's a physical block. And like I said, I think you just wired yourself into it. I don't personally think there's some deep-rooted thing and that's a reason why you can't have an orgasm. I think, like I said, you just got wired into something. So I don't know that you actually need a sex therapist to help you out of it. I don't think, oh, you were traumatized at some point and therefore can't. Sometimes that is the case for people that have some sort of sexual dysfunction. It's definitely rooted in trauma, but I don't think that this is. Another woman said that she was the same way and she was exactly the same age and she has been able to squirt in her life, but she can't do it anymore. And she feels like it's a fear of letting go and she's afraid of what her body would do if she continues to let the feelings go, you know, twitching, shaking. It's maybe it's like that loss of control that she's afraid of. And maybe you have that too. Are you a little bit of a control freak? I would understand that. I'm a control freak. Maybe it is that fear of letting go. And you got to push through that. And then somebody else said what I said was like, try a body wand. And this person said that vibrators are terrible, but a body wand is completely different. And that's true. I promise you, get yourself a wand, listen to Susan Bratt and orgasm episode and keep playing with yourself and breathe and relax when you're feeling turned on instead of clenching and trying to get yourself more turned on and see if that helps and keep me posted because I want to know when you have your fucking orgasm. It will happen. It can happen. And that's what you need to know. Okay, you need to mind fuck yourself into having an orgasm just like you mind fucked yourself into not being able to have one. Okay, just tell yourself it's that simple and it's going to happen and good luck. So anyway, thanks so much for tuning into my confessions episode. If you have a hot confession that you want to leave on my confessions hotline, call it now. The number is 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. Make sure you're in a quiet place. Don't call me driving. Don't call me from your car phone. Don't call me from your headset. Take the phone up to your ear, old school style. That is the best way to get the best sound. Talk clearly. You get 4 minutes. Leave a message. If you need longer, just call back. All voices are changed, so you remain anonymous. The number is 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in. tuning in to this week's episode. If you want to follow the show, follow me at Strict Anonymous on Instagram or Twitter. That's at Strict Anonymous. If you want to sign up for my Patreon, on my Patreon, you are not only supporting my show, but you will get these episodes early, ad-free, and you get to see anonymous pics of my guests. Most of the girls send in anonymous pics, and some of the guys send in anonymous pics. So if you want to see anonymous pics of my guests, as well as support my show and get these episodes early and ad-free, sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. The link is also in the description below. Thanks so much for listening.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone? Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is Strictly Anonymous. Strictly Anonymous.